Normally I can sit down now and enjoy the homily, but today I'm giving the homily. So I won't sit down now. Somehow it came together like that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the gospel. There's a very well done Saturday Night Live skit. I don't know if any of you ever watch Saturday Night Live. It's a comedy show, a live, it's the only actual live show on television, a comedy show that gets filmed live every Saturday Night Live, and every once in a while I watch it. There's a very well done skit about bad parenting. And in it, a family sits around the table and the dad asks one of the kids to do something, and the minute the kid does it, the dad scolds the child for doing it. And this goes on, and it gets more and more convoluted and annoying and frustrating. And while it's very funny, one does feel uncomfortable and trapped after a while watching it. And maybe it's one of these skits that hits too close to one's own soul or experience. I saw it years ago, and every once in a while I still think about it, which is amazing. There's really no other skits I remember except Tina Fey as Sarah Palin. But that one, every once in a while I go back, and there's a sense of discomfort. There's a certain emotion, a certain state of uncomfortableness it evokes. When I found out in early December that I was doing the homily on October 24th, I sat down quickly and read the Gospel of the day to get a sense what the text I would be like, that I would be working with. And we heard it earlier on. What I noticed after reading this was that the same kind of feeling of unease lurked in the back of my mind that I had during the Saturday Night Live skit. That there was some whiff of bad parenting in this. That's the emotion I got. And I remember even way back into my late teens when I became a Christian, early 20s, there's always this unease about this type of parables, especially one like this one. And I closed the lecture, I took a deep breath, and I didn't like that one. And I didn't quite know how in the world I could talk about it. It's one of those texts that I've never been able to get comfortable with because it speaks to some complexities within our human makeup I've always had a hard time with. To say it simply, I felt you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You're definitely in trouble if you do bad. That's kind of easy. That makes total sense. But you're also in trouble, maybe in more trouble, if you do good, because our ego's drive to use the good we do to exalt ourselves is so overpowering that it will be very hard to resist. So maybe you're better not doing good, better off, because the other might be worse. So it gets very convoluted. And there is a bit that sense of trappedness, like in bad parenting. You know, do this, but if you do it, you get in trouble. But probably that's not really what it is. It's been very good to sit with this text for a few weeks and ponder it here and there. And I've come to some conclusions. One is, we are all called to do good. We should do as much good as we possibly can. As much good as is within our ability and giftedness. We should not hold back. We should not try to do someone else's good, but we should do good with the ability we've been given. But that we should do to the fullest. And that was, when that thought came to me, it was very freeing to actually say, no, we should jump in with feet first and do good without holding back. We can also be proud of the good we do and confident that it was the right thing. I love the Apostle Paul's matter-of-fact contentment toward the end of his life when he says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Is he just like the man in the temple filled with contentment born out of his self-righteousness? I don't think so. He did good and he acknowledges it. End of story. He knew he did it. He was glad he did it. He was proud of it. But he was not like the Pharisee in the temple because he didn't connect it to certain things. The second thought that came to me has to do with the heart of God. Maybe in its essence, this parable is about the heart of God and maybe about our heart. And that is the point where something changed for me. It seems to me as if Jesus is trying to bring across the Creator's longing to relate to us in prayer. And in the case of this parable, it is individual one-on-one prayer. God longs to have us approach in prayer, have us want to relate. He wants to relate, have us want to enter into a back and forth. But that none of that can happen if we come with our inventory list of all the good we think we have done. It's irrelevant. We should do all the good because we can, because it's the right thing to do. But when we approach our Maker, the Eternal One, the Abba, it is not our inventory list that is needed, but our heart. The list stays at the door, outside. In the same way, the broken tax collector's inventory of ill deeds is irrelevant at that moment, the Pharisee's list of good deeds is irrelevant at that moment. Not because those things are irrelevant in the larger picture, but at that moment of encounter, they don't matter. The heart matters. Could it be that God longs for a heart? God longs to relate heart to heart. I just got a whiff of insight. That's all. It's nearly like it drifted by. I don't know, but it helped me pray more and deeper. There's a heart seeking our heart. The tax collector came with his heart wide open and wounded. He was able to, at least instinctively, touch the essence of this moment of encounter. He, in essence, says, "I'm here broken as I am. Because I want to be here with you, but I'm broken and I have failed." The Pharisee could have done the same. "I'm here because I want to be with you, because of your love for me and my love for you, but whatever good I have done is irrelevant for this moment. I'm here to relate to you in love and joy." The Joel reading ends with, "I shall pour my spirit on all humanity." Maybe the heart is the vessel of the Spirit. The heart of God is where the Spirit comes from, and our hearts are the container to hold it. We are called to do good, tirelessly do good, as best as we can, with all the joy we can muster. But when we approach God, all that stays behind. The good we do, the bad we do, we can let go of. We can acknowledge it and then say, "Here I am. I have been longing to be near you."